Shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. It is not, however, Carl and Linda Bott. It's Thursday morning, and this is Trish Clark. And I welcome you to the Free Fire Radio Community Radio for the North State. The news, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Regional Medical Center, our local heart specialist company, best in the North State. It's going to be a high of 91 today and a low of 59. It's currently, about 56 in downtown Reading. On Friday, we're having mostly sunny and a high of 88, a low of 58. Saturday, a high of 87 and a low of 55. Sunday, a high of 83 and a low of 54. Monday, back up to 87. Looks like those temperatures are going to ride right around the high 80s, low 90s all through next week. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. Locally owned and veteran-owned and operated, they give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793. So Thursday morning, and here we are, almost the end of May. The end of April going into May. Was this last week we had April showers bring May flowers, and the flowers are all in bloom. It's beautiful spring. We've had a nice time, and I'm hoping these 80s and 90s will hold out for a little while longer before they end us in the throes of typical Shasta County summers. I'm joined in the studio this morning by one of my very favorite people, Anderson Police Chief Mike Johnson.
Good morning, Trish.
Good morning, Mike. It's been a long time since I've been able to get you up here.
Yeah, I know. I've been busy.
I know you have, and it's a busy time, and lots of things going on. So this is your opportunity. If any of you've got questions or comments about the city of Anderson, we're going to focus on the South County a little bit this morning. Then now's your opportunity to ask those questions. So give us a call at 605-4567. So what's going on in the police world of the city of Anderson, Mike?
Well, it's going pretty good, actually. We've been very proactive with different operations that we're doing. So as far as policing and crime goes, we haven't really, we're pretty fortunate in Anderson lately. I got aggressive bunch of officers, men and women that run the department, and they've been keeping on top of it pretty good. So what we do is we do a lot of proactive stuff where we set up stings. We've been doing human trafficking stings primarily over in a little interdiction and getting that riffraff that's coming down 5. And COVID and the internet together have changed everything, and in policing as well. And, and COVID especially, since, that has come about in the pandemic, the human trafficking game has kind of changed too. And they do some different stuff. I tell you, they schedule up and down the states and the major freeways, and they traffic these girls, and they make appointments and come and stop in your city and on their appointment day and appointment time. And you gotta leave a deposit for them now sometimes for them to make sure they'll show up. It's crazy. But the, on the flip side of that is, our detectives and our guys that have been doing those operations have been very successful in, taking and rescuing these, especially underage girls that are being brought up and trafficked up and down the state, and, getting the pimp and getting the people who are trafficking them and interrupting those operations.
You know, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I really honestly believe that that's a part of our society that people are choosing to ignore. They don't have any idea the depth of the trafficking and pedophilia and stuff that's going on, not just in California, but across the United States, and in fact, across the world.
Oh, yeah. It's
this
bad.
Is a huge, huge thing.
The pedophilia is just, it is truly unbelievable, Trish. I mean, It's a wonder that any parents let their kids wander 10 feet from them anymore because of how bad it is. And it's sad because, you know, you think about the times when you and I grew up and generations and how things have changed so much. Mm-hmm. One is, you know, the populations are way more than they were when we were young, but also the, you know, when you increase a population, you increase your predator population too. And not only are these people preying on our kids and our youth and other people in the weaker, but you know they're also turning around and having kids themselves, and a lot of those cycles are continuing, and it's just increasing, and it's tough.
You know it is, and I think that there's got to become an awareness. One of the things that I think because it's starting to be talked about a little bit more now because of the new conditions on the border. One of the reasons that President Trump was so successful in what he was doing, the border wall was way more about keeping Mexicans out. I mean, everybody always jumped on that immediately. But that wasn't what it was about. It was about the drug trafficking. It was about the human trafficking. It was about the cartels, all that stuff that really was slowed down with what he was doing on the border. And it was very successful. He rescued hundreds of thousands of people, women and children that were in this trafficking thing across the United States during his term.
Yeah, I don't think people quite understand that is the target. Was it wasn't to keep the good people out that wanted to come in legally and stuff. We're still wide open for that. Mm-hmm. But and you know, Trish, the other thing is it's not just that border. That's what's funny to me is it's the seaports, it's the Canadian border, everything. It's the same concept all the way around.
Exactly.
They just chose to make that an issue because I think they wanted to play the race card and all the politics that are involved with that. But we have a tremendous amount of organized crime that comes across those borders, both sides of those borders, through the seaports and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And it does need to be there needs to be some interdiction and interference with that.
Well, I think that the Trump administration was very successful in that. I have hopes that they'll figure out what they're doing wrong down there now and turn
that
around.
Well, you keep hoping because we're in for a few years of.
I don't think so. I hope,
you're very optimistic,
hope
Trish.
Hope springs eternal. I have to tell you, Mike, I just can't. I believe that at some point the American people, I mean, maybe it's just hopeful, wishful thinking. But I honestly believe that at some point they're going to have to question what the heck's going on here and say, wait a minute, enough is enough.
Yeah, like I said, I'm glad you're optimistic.
They're certainly tempting our belief system by some of the stuff that's happening. I mean, you got to take a step back and go, wow, really?
Well, if you just look at, I know there's a ton of different topics in that realm of politics that we cover, but since I'm law enforcement, let's just look at it from the law enforcement point of view. They California government in particular out of Sacramento keeps just one after another, keeps these ridiculous objectives and legislative acts and laws and decommissioning and defunding and everything else that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just every day there's another chip in the armor that are cracking the wall for us that we have to try to plug a hole. And it's making it tough to do our jobs. When you talk about pedophilia just a minute ago, we were speaking about that. I mean, they've even loosened the restriction for that and for the requirements for them having to register. And it just, none of it makes sense. And when we're constantly trying to figure out a new creative way to keep doing our job, which I guarantee you will do. And there's always a solution and a way around it, but it gets tougher and tougher and it gets more frustrating for the public we're trying to serve and protect and our own families that we're trying to protect to do this job when they just keep, you know, letting people out and not holding people accountable.
And every time they turn around, they pass another law that takes more of them out of the prison system and puts them into our local jail population or into our local communities on probation or those things. Well, this thing we'll talk maybe in the next section about the closure of the prison over there.
Susanville, the CDC, yeah.
I mean, oh my God.
Yeah.
And they just keep, like you say, coming out with all of these things that are an impact. And unfortunately, none of those decisions come with any money to make it easier to do your job at the local level.
No, yeah, that's been the big change, right? Is they've federally and also through the state have been pushing off those funding burdens to the counties and the cities. And and it's fine. It was fine to pick up a few of those, right, to share some of that wealth. But, man, it's out of control now, and we can't afford to do it.
This portion of the show has been brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. It's a community-oriented, dedicated team of professionals committed to providing the highest level of personal service. Cornerstone has three branches serving Shasta and Tehama counties, and one in Red Bluff, one across from Jack's Grill, and on East Cypress Avenue. They're excited to announce that their East Cypress branch will be relocating to 192 Hartnell Avenue, and you can also visit them online at thebankcornerstone.com. Give them a call. They're there to serve you. We'll be right back after these messages.
Listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. I'm here to invite you to our second Twin Powers Health Fair, Saturday, May 1st, at HealthWise Chiropractic in Reading. Our vendors will be indoors and outdoors, from nutrition, skincare and makeup, to massage, energy work, and handcrafts, and so much more. We see you, we hear you, we know people are craving community and togetherness. This is how we can help. Join us Saturday, May 1st, for the Twin Powers Health Fair at HealthWise Chiropractic at 405 South Street. See you there.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at kcnr1460.com. Tune in to Mark Levin, Dave Ramsey, and Ben Shapiro. Plus, don't miss our local shows, including Free Fire Radio on KCNR.
What's the matter with the clothes I'm wearing? Can't you tell that your tie's too wide?
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're in the studio this morning with Chief Mike Johnson from the Anderson Police Department. If you got a question about that, something you'd like to ask the chief, this is your opportunity. Give us a call at 605-4567. And this is Trish Clark this morning because it's Thursday. Carl's on assignment, Linda's out on assignment, and I'm just here holding down the fort. This section of the show is brought to us by Four Winds Jewelers, my favorite candy store, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. They're located at 2225 Hilltop Drive. Give them a phone call at 222-2750. The finest collection of wonderful estate jewelry and turquoise, and if you've got something special you'd like made, that's the place you want to go. Go and see them on Hilltop Drive. So, Mike, we were talking before about the impacts of COVID and the things that have happened on. Let's talk just a little bit about some of the lasting impacts of this whole COVID thing on our community. You were talking about the positions that were available in the city of Anderson on the second floor. I know that police departments in general up and down the state are having a heck of a time hiring. How's that impacting us?
Yeah, it's pretty appalling, actually, to see what's going on with that. As far as the policing goes, you have to question why anybody would want to even enter the profession at this point. But there's good men and women still out there that want to do the right thing and for the right reasons. So we still find them. But I got to tell you, it's not like it used to be for that, even, Trish. So in the police side, like when I was coming into the profession, there would be 50 guys competing for one position, and that is actually a small number. That's just a North State mm-hmm. number. And now, you know, you've got 50 departments competing for one guy. That's how drastic it has changed. So the last group of people that we have hired at the Anderson Police Department, we have had to, go out and recruit them. I mean, when I'm out to dinner, when I'm at the mechanic shop, when I'm, at the roofing company or anything, I'm talking to these younger guys and recruiting them, trying to get them through the door at least to test, because that's what you have to do now. You can't just wait for them to show up. Every mm-hmm. now and then a few people show up or hear it by word of mouth, but you got to hustle to get them. So, what we were talking about before, Trish, a more recent example is City Hall in Anderson, our second floor, which is primarily your building department,
planning. Yeah.
So they have, I think, four positions they're trying to hire for now, and it's been on Facebook, it's been in ads, it's been on the city websites, you know, the League of Cities and everything, and trying to get people to apply for these positions. And we're talking good positions, stable positions with mm-hmm. good health benefits and the whole nine yards. And we can't get people to even apply, qualified people to even apply. It's bad. And I suspect that this is all a fallout of COVID, and people are making more money than they've ever made on combination of their stimulus checks and, unemployment, and they don't want to come to work.
Well, they've sunk into a it's okay lifestyle. We're not done doing anything, and I've got enough money to pay my bills, and I can go to the lake, and I can drink beer, and I'm doing good. I'm not getting ahead, but I'm doing good, and I'm not working. So why would I want to go out and make a little bit more and have to go to work from 8 to 5?
Or even in some cases, not as much.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And when you talk about a minimum wage now that's $15-$16, whatever it is it's going up to, how can some of these places even compete? Why would you want to put yourself out there for anything more than and trying and challenging if you could, like you said, have everything you need and take a part-time minimum wage at the best?
Yeah. And the thing with the paying $15 an hour to flip a hamburger makes absolutely no sense. You know, the entry-level jobs, those jobs that paid $7 and $8 an hour, were supposed to be for the youth, for the young people getting started. That's where you start in your profession, and you learn work skills and how to show up on time and be a part of an employment group and what have you. And then when you get to the point in your life where you have to support a family, you've got that background, and you can then you move up into a job, and you earn a raise. Yeah. You're starting out at $15 an hour.
Isn't that crazy? And you've got kids coming out of college with degrees and education and stuff.
Can't get a job.
Can't get a job. And you know, the other part about that whole equation that frustrates me is, speaking of the education thing, you know, I'm all for education, and I think it's a great thing. I don't think it's a must, but I think it's a great thing. They've forgiven people's debts left and right coming out of school. Nobody forgave my debt. I don't get it.
We all get a lot of that feeling about, yeah. How about my mortgage? How about all the struggling that most of us white privileged people did going through this whole thing and paying our own debts and working while we went to college or while we got established? And now all of a sudden they want us to pay for their free education, but they don't want to work during the process of doing that. And then forgive all their debts, and they want to go get a degree in horticulture or whatever, and you know, nothing, Trish, you can actually do to get a job. I'm all for college and education, but not everybody needs to do that.
Right.
We need tradesmen. We need electricians and plumbers and carpenters and welders and all those kind of things too. And you can do, you know, you can go through trade school and get all those skills and make a really good living.
I agree.
And we need those people.
Absolutely, we need those people. There's nothing wrong with all that. And in fact, my son's went through a trade school, and he's going to end up being in the trade. And I think it's great. There's nothing wrong with all that. The problem with the whole system, in my opinion now, is that they've set it up to where, you know, people feel this sense of entitlement that the government owes them this or somebody owes them this or that, and mm-hmm. there's no more struggle. And you learn a lot when you have to struggle and fight your way to get to wherever you are. And when you don't have to, it changes things, and we're seeing that.
Well, and I, you know, getting very philosophical here, but it goes right back in my mind to when we went to the whole system, just we little people, and we don't, everybody gets a trophy, and everybody's an equal, and you uh-huh. can't, and all of that, and everybody gets a ribbon, and nobody gets, you know, can't be, you know, nobody can stand out. Well, that's not a hard, I mean, that's not life.
There's winners and losers.
You're darn right, and you get what you put in, and yeah, you have the right to make a decision, but you also have the responsibility to suffer the consequences of that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not teaching them that as they're coming up, and I hold the schools responsible for a lot of that, but I also hold the parents responsible.
Absolutely.
Because that's why God gives us parents and children, in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And we're supposed to be teaching those children a lesson. I mean, when I wouldn't let my son win at checkers, everybody said I was just the meanest mama in the world, when that little kid would cry because I beat him time after time, but the pride on his face when he actually beat me was worth all that.
Yeah, and that's a good life lesson. Simple, but it's a good life lesson.
Exactly. You get what you earn and what you work for. And so I think we're not teaching our kids that in school or at home. And then all of a sudden they're thrust out into the real world, and it's, you know, kind of make it or break it. And a lot of them are not making it.
I know it. And it's rough. And like I said, we're feeling it across the nation.
I'm hoping that I believe in, I'm always a positive thinker. And I think enough people are recognizing that. I think that there's enough people, not on the coasts where I don't know what's in those big cities. But I think they just go along to get along and don't, you know, they go along with whatever fad there is. But I think in your flyover country, people are starting to see those differences and starting to make a difference. And that's how it's going to change. It's going to change in our churches and our communities, local levels, and we're going to go back to teaching our children how to be human beings and good Americans.
Well, I'd like to say that I'm optimistic with you there, Trish, about things are going to change. It's just, I'm frustrated at this point, very frustrated with the way the nation's going, with the current sentiment where, like I said, nobody's held accountable, that There's no core values being upheld at this current time in our nation, and it's very frustrating to see.
It's a difficult thing when we just don't seem to see people stepping forward. On the other hand, though, you know, you go back, and I work with a lot of young people in the community, and every once in a while I'm in a situation where you've got a group of kids. I'm kind of impressed, and not that I'm going to make a statement one way or the other on the whole recall thing, but there's some young people involved in that that are really interesting. They're in a position of taking back their community and making a difference, and I'm glad to see that.
Well, I could tell you this, Trish. When we speak about these things, and when I personally speak about my frustration with it, I always come back to one thing, and that is I am so blessed and grateful to be in the North State and in Shasta County. Because what happens is around here, it's not so bad. I really have a true affection for our communities around here, because we're not the same of what's going on around the rest of the nation. You go, it doesn't take long to you go and visit one of these big cities, and you see things are a lot different. And we are very lucky to have what we have here.
We're going to talk about that when we come back after this break. This portion of the show has been brought to us by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. Helping families, veterans, seniors, and business owners since 1993. Located at 1378 Hilltop Drive, next to Members First Credit Union. Judy will help you out, and she's really good at everything she does over there, so give her a call. Judy Maxwell at 221-0441, and we'll be right back after these messages.
When I wake up in the morning, love, and the sunlight hurts my eyes, something without warning, love, bears heavy on my mind.
Shasta County, my name is Melissa Magana, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood starting May 1st. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Mother's Day brunch on Sunday, May 9th, with seating options at 10 a.m. and 12 noon in the Wind River Event Center. Served buffet includes omelet station, prime rib, roast turkey, steamed clams with an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Table of six for $135.
Taxes and fees apply.
Tickets must be purchased by calling 1-800-280-YOU-WIN or at windriver.com. For the complete menu, download the Wind River app or log on to windriver.com.
All Wind River safety protocols must be followed.
Compass Sports Cards, locally owned and operated at 1620 East Cypress Avenue across from Hill Collision Center, is your home base for trading cards and signed sports memorabilia with modern and vintage sports cards and collectibles. Compass Sports Cards features baseball, basketball, football cards, and is the largest supplier of non-sports Pokemon cards. Buy, sell, or trade with Compass Sports Cards, open from 11 to 6 Monday through Saturday. Do you have a collection? Have it appraised at Compass Sports Cards before or after hours at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Call 355-2016 or stop by today and check us out on Facebook. Compass Sports Cards.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to an North State with no more homeless pets.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You can jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. I know you people are there, and Jared will tell me if there's anything coming out of there that we need to respond to. I kind of can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I can't talk and keep this show going and do the internet thing at the same time. If you'd like to talk to us, you can give us a call at 605-4567. It is Thursday morning. And this is Trish Clark, your host this morning. And I'm in the studio with me is Chief Mike Johnson from the city of Anderson. We're just talking about all kinds of things. And one of the conversations we got into just as we were going to the break was, you know, we're very fortunate. We have some issues up here. Certainly we have the homeless issue. We have the drugs and trafficking and prostitution and all kinds of things that they have every place else, but certainly not to the degree that they do in the bigger cities.
Certainly not, and we're very lucky for that, Trish. And I think that we often get insulated in where we live and the groups that we run in, and we don't really have an appreciation for how good we really have it until you travel, until you go on a vacation or something and go visit one of those other cities, and you feel the political climate there, and you see the blight and everything in those places, and then you realize, wow, we've got it good in the North State.
I know that I've had a lot of conversations over the last couple of weeks. I am appreciative of the way the local agencies in Anderson work together. You know, the Fire Protection District is a unique animal. It's not like the city of Reading where it's part of the city. The Anderson Fire Protection District is a separate entity funded and governed by a separate elected board. I'm actually the chairman of that board. And then you have your city government, but they work so well together. The city manager and the police chief and the fire chief all sit down and talk about issues like a fire season and making sure our city is safe if there is a large storm coming or a police action or something happening in the community.
Yeah, it works very well, actually. We've got a great relationship with the fire district there. In fact, Chief Lowe is at our police department almost as much as he's at his own department, and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guys are all lockstep in as far as their objective for the city and what needs to be done and how we need to go about things. You're absolutely right about that, Trish. I've got no complaints with that at all. And it's nice.
And I know that right now our fire district is in the process of making people cut weeds and clean down areas. That certainly not only keeps us safe from fire, but it also helps out the homeless problem, because when we take all those things out, of our of a place for them to set up their little housing units.
Right, place for them to hide.
Exactly. That's helpful. So I've gotten a lot of comments from people. Who's in charge of that? I said, well, I think it's the fire department putting out the stuff, but it's the police identifying where they want it cut down. So it's kind of a combination of efforts. We have somebody on the phone. We're going to go to the phone. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, good morning, Trish. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Happy to hear you guys this morning. I've got an announcement. I've got a show that I do every other Sunday called Poke the Hornet's Nest, and I'm going to be on this Sunday at 8 o'clock, and I'm going to start a new special, The Neutering of the American Male. And there's a lot to talk about there.
There
we've absolutely been neutered. We can't even protect ourselves.
Boy, now, you are. That's a good name for your show, Poke the Hornet's Nest.
Well, thank you. There's a lot of things to be poking.
Uh-huh.
And I could not agree more with the subject that you've come up with, because that has been an effort that the women's movement, I hate to admit to that, but that they started that whole thing with the total emasculation of the male population, and we're teaching our young men that they can't fight back and they can't do this and they can't. I mean, God forbid you open a door for a lady. That's not something that should happen, and she can do it herself. And I think it's the worst thing. I mean, I've always enjoyed the difference. I enjoy being treated by a lady, and the male is supposed to be the person that's there to protect and guide. Not that I'm not capable as a woman of doing anything I want to. It's just, leave all the difference.
Well, you know, we can't even protect our property.
No.
Even our property that we make a living with, if we catch them stealing it out of your pickup, you can't go out there and beat them around and make them decide that they don't want to do that. You know, it's just gotten ridiculous. But what I wanted to ask you, Mike, is, you know, Measure A failed, and it was because us voters don't want to put up a navigation center, don't want to rehab these attics. It's a failure. We don't want to go that route. We've made it clear that we want to build a jail and hold criminals accountable. And I don't get the impression that our elected officials believe that. I heard Joe Comente, say that he was going to go to the cities and talk to them about doing some kind of a navigation center rehab type deal that I assume we won't even be able to vote on. What's your opinion of that? Do you think it's time to go in the direction that the voters want to go in?
Oh, boy, you are trying to poke the hornet's nest, aren't you?
Yes. I think it's time for our elected officials and everybody that works for us to start listening to us.
Well, I couldn't agree more that, they wanted to lessen jails and go for more intervention and rehabilitation. And I got it, I've always said, well, that's great for the few that it works for, but there's some other people that don't understand anything else. And one way or another, even if you're going somewhat down that road, I believe there's a blend that needs to happen, but they don't want I don't exactly know who to tell you who they are, but the majority seems not to want to have accountability and incarceration for crimes and for victimizing the good people of the community. And I'm 100% for accountability. I'm 100% for holding people accountable, having them do real time or an alternative give back to the community. And so far we haven't gotten there. And I've been pushing from that for day one.
Are you pushing for a jail?
Absolutely. Not just a jail, a bigger jail. We need more capacity to hold people in there.
Absolutely. That's not what I understood with Measure A was your stance. I'm glad to hear that is your stance.
It's absolutely my stance, and if you want me to take it further, we need to broaden and expand our prisons in this state so we can hold more people in those.
Well, that sounds great. Good. You're on board.
Well, Mike always has been, Nick. If you will remember, he got in a whole lot of trouble with the powers that be for a period of time when they were talking about what they were going to do, and he got in the middle of it and had a better plan, and nobody wanted to listen except the people. The other electeds didn't want to listen, but Mike had a good...
Wasn't the Navigation Center Mike's idea?
Yeah,
that... And I didn't like that. I like the idea of putting them in jail, separate the ones that want some help, and then sending them to those programs, which I think you mentioned.
That's exactly what his plan was. Pick out those people that you can make a difference with and then do something with them, but they have to be held accountable along the way. And if they don't do that, correct me if I'm wrong, Mike, but you give them that opportunity when they prove they deserve it, and if they then don't live up to that, they get slapped right back in jail.
Exactly. That was the program. And so that way the ones that truly had the support network or wanted to change their lives and wanted to participate would have that opportunity, but those who didn't would do jail. And
well,
that,
I think it should be jail first.
Well, God love you. That's
and
the way it used to be.
Have
but
their opportunity. Well, let me ask you this now. Barron Browning is running for boss seat, and I'm wondering if he gets in, if you'll use your influence over him to push for a jail.
I work for the city of Anderson, and I don't have that county politics or positions to do that. So
you certainly have his ear, and you can tell him what you want. It's my feeling that the city of Redding, the city of Shasta Lake, and the city of Anderson should chip in for a jail, not just the taxpayers that are in the county.
Oh, I agree. It should be the Shasta community.
But recognize, Nick, that the county, what happens with the jail and the district attorney's office and all those things that are funded by the county, even if you're a citizen of the city of Redding or the city of Shasta Lake or the city of Anderson, you're also a citizen of the county. And
well, that's
so you're
right.
Chipping in anyway. Everybody in the county is chipping in to everything that the county does.
That's right. But, you know, with the Measure A, they had to go out and give each one of those entities some money out of the pot.
Yes.
And you know what? The pot needs to be for a jail only.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's no question. There was certainly, obviously, more of the people agreed with you than agreed with the measure because it failed. And so I think an example of that, and we've talked about it before, and we're a little long on this, but is, you know, the city of Anderson passed their sales tax increase, and they did it with a majority vote and an advisory measure, and the citizens in Anderson have been very pleased because the city and the city government and the police department have lived up to every bit of it that they agreed to do, and it's been a real good thing for the city.
And you know why that is, Trish? You're a smaller city, and your citizens trust you.
That's exactly right. They trusted the people making the decision. And the elected people in the city of Anderson have earned their trust.
And I don't see that with Redding and Shasta County.
Well, hopefully we'll get there. Like you have Trish in her positive, optimistic point of view here on that we're discussing, and I hope we can get there, Nick, because you're right. That piece of the puzzle is a big piece that's missing, and it has to be rectified if we're going to keep the stronghold in our community.
Sunday morning, neutering the American male.
Okay,
good
thanks,
luck
Nick,
with that.
Very
thanks
much
for the call.
Okay, bye.
All right, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The Turtle Bay Spring Plant Sale has been extended. You can now enjoy discounts at the nursery all April long. We grow California native and climate acclimated plants from around the world, primed to grow strong and healthy right in your own backyard. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
You don't have to be a Native American to access quality health care. Redding Rancheria's Churn Creek Healthcare and Central Valley Healthcare are open to anyone with Medicare, Medi-Cal, or Partnership Health. Our health system never charges co-pays, deductibles, share of cost, or even a sliding fee scale. Patients never have to pay to access quality, compassionate health care. Redding Rancheria Tribal Health System, changing how health care is delivered. Call us today to schedule an appointment.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of The Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show at 6 p.m. every Thursday night. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, featuring what's going on in our town. The second Thursday is hosted by Michelle Slate, featuring heroes of the North State. The third Thursday is hosted by none other than James Masada and Rhonda Alvey from Enjoy the Magazine and Enjoy the Store. Our newest edition is the fourth Thursday of the month, Women of Vision. That's North State Now, Thursday at 6 p.m., also streaming on KCNR 1460.com.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Meet Stella the Seahorse and her companions in Washed Ashore, Art to Save the Sea, now on display at Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Delightful and shocking, this indoor-outdoor exhibition highlights the perils of plastic pollution. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Okay, welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. KCNR 1460.com online and 605-4567 if you've got a call. We've got a little bit left in this section. It is Thursday. This is Trish Clark and I have Chief Mike Johnson in the studio with me. In the next hour, we're going to be visiting with our Shasta County District Attorney, Stephanie Bridget.
Yeah, thanks and for firing me up there, Nick.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, and we have more phone calls, Mike. We have Kay on the line. Good morning, Kay.
Hi, Trish. Hi, Chief Johnson.
Good morning.
I'd like to follow Nick up. I think you've gotten into a hornet's nest where we are hornets, after all, from Enterprise.
There you go.
We can get together with a pack of wolves and a den of cubs and we're a force to reckon with.
There you go. You got them all there.
Yeah. I've been wondering, you know, with this stuff with the infrastructure, there's two things that I think they need to work on, which would be, I think, infrastructure. And one of them is when it was the federal court judges that closed down a lot of the jails or the prisons, the state prisons in California, and said they weren't appropriate or they needed this and that.
That's true.
And I think that we need infrastructure and money to go to the jails, if we're going to the prisons, to get the prisons up to snuff, because I mean, who'd want to spend a 10-year sentence in the Shasta County jail?
Yeah. Well, I mean, certainly, Kay, that's a really good point about infrastructure, and I think that our jails, our community jails, were never intended for long-term incarceration.
Well, 6 months to a year is what I understand.
That's correct. That's what they're intended for initially. And you're right, the prisons need to be expanded and updated. But there's another piece to that that, in my opinion, needs to happen too. They need to take a look at the rights that they afford prisoners, felons that are in our actual prison systems. They need to, I think they've done a little bit broad stance on the Constitution on giving those prisoners so many rights. When you become...
Like law libraries?
Like everything.
24-hour medical service, 24-hour... Right. Right. They've gone way beyond citizens' rights and given them all to the prisoners.
When I was in Amador County in Ione, we had a prison in our city as Mule Creek State Prison. And so I got a little acquainted with how things work there. And I'll give you one example of the horrific cost that is incurred by the taxpayers through the prisons. Whenever there was a prisoner that would have a medical condition or even feign a serious medical condition. Now, mind you, the prisons have their own medical staff and everybody on board at the facility. They would have the doctor respond to the cell and the medical people, call the ambulance, load that prisoner up in the ambulance, and take him to the local hospital, and then send five or six guys with him to watch him. Well, you're incurring a huge cost. I don't even know why you have medical at the facility if you're going to do that. So
it's double billing or something.
It is, and it's just one of those rights that constitutionally and through the courts they have instilled and on the prisons and the prisoners get out of that. And that type of stuff is ridiculous. And that's just one small little example of what goes on in our prison systems is why they're so expensive.
But why hasn't the law enforcement community, you know, and it wouldn't take much to get the citizens behind them.
Well, I'm always looking for a project because I don't like sitting around idle being bored. So maybe you can look for me to try to lead someone like that in the future.
Okay,
well,
thanks, KK. I'm gonna have to cut you because we've got one more line call on the line and we're just got a couple minutes left.
Thank you for calling.
Thanks for your input very much.
Thank you.
Okay, Lori.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You got about 2 minutes.
Oh, I'll be very fast. This has to deal more with public safety and people driving on the roads. There's a video going out yesterday called Vaccidents. That's where there's more car crashes happening in good weather, daytime, and it's almost like people under the influence. These folks that are having clots, strokes, maybe slow anaphylactic shock, whatever, they're having these uptick in accidents. So I'm wondering if the chief or anybody in his force has noticed that there's more car accidents being reported as I hear them on the radio. That means this is also affecting pilots, truck drivers, of course, surgeons. There's 4 in 10 people on the road that might be having the stroke, which is a mild to moderate side effect from these new experimental vaccines. So that's my question. I'll listen off air, I guess.
Hey,
thanks
for that. And you cleared up my question at the end. I didn't know where vaccidents came from, but you're saying in concert with vaccines now. I get it. I can't tell you that in Anderson I've noticed any of that sort of trend, and I don't know much about the subject. I'm sorry, so I'll have to research myself. Trish, you know anything about that?
You know, I really don't, and I do know personally somebody who has had one of those reactions to the Johnson & Johnson, but I hadn't heard that. That's new information. It's something I'll have to kind of research as well. So, Mike, I'll give you the last shot here. We've got just about a minute and a half left. And I loved having you on the show. We got to do this more often, though, because we didn't touch on a lot of things.
I know. There's a lot to cover.
Yeah, it is. So any final words, any thoughts for people out there?
Nope. Same thing as usual, Trish. I'm grateful for the Shasta community. Still trying to do everything as a whole for Shasta County, not just for Anderson, not just for Redding, not just for Shasta Lake City. It's we're all in it together, and it's great to be in the North State.
Well, thank you so much for being with us this morning. And I always enjoy it. Like I say, I chose to live in the city of Anderson when I first moved here. I've never regretted that decision. I love Shasta County, but Anderson's a pretty little special town.
It is a little dear to my heart, too. You know that. Hey, everybody, listeners, you get to hear from my good friend Stephanie Bridget, who I haven't seen in quite a while, but she's back amongst us now, and it's over, Stephanie. Back to work.
Yeah, that's over. Stephanie's going to join us in the next hour, and this portion of the show has been brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, and they love being a sponsor for this show for forever and ever. Go and visit them. We're going to be right back after some news and these words.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. America's economic engine shifting into high gear after stalling during the pandemic. The U.S. economy grew at a 6.4% annual rate last quarter.
The increase is a show of strength fueled by government aid and declining viral cases that could drive further gains as the nation rebounds with unusual speed from the pandemic. The report from the Commerce Department estimated that the nation's gross domestic product accelerated in the January to March quarter from a 4.3% annual gain in the final quarter of 2020.
That's correspondent Jeremy House, and the number of Americans applying for jobless benefits fell 13,000 last week to 553,000. President Biden visits Georgia today after unveiling his spending plans in that speech to Congress last night. The cost of Mr. Biden's three proposals totals around $6 trillion. Republicans find it ironic that the president, who killed 11,000 jobs when he canceled the Keystone Pipeline, is talking about job creation. GOP Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina says his things are getting better for all under President Trump.
Senator Scott says opportunity was on the rise under the previous administration.
Wages were growing faster at the bottom than at the top.
Scott notes that with President Trump in office and Republicans in control of the Senate,
we passed opportunity zones, criminal justice reform, and permanent funding for historically black colleges and universities.
In his response to President Biden's address to Congress last night, Scott also defended the filibuster and called Georgia's new voter integrity law mainstream. Bob Agner reporting.
Two deputies were killed. Three other people, including the suspected gunman, were found dead after a day-long standoff yesterday in Boone, North Carolina. The suspect apparently killed himself, ending the standoff. On Wall Street, the Dow down 6 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
If you're a radio listener, one thing I'm certain of is that you're not tuning in to listen to me. So I'm sorry about the next 45 seconds. But we have specifically chose this station because we think we're similar, and we'd love for you to see why our mortgage team might be a good fit for you or someone you care about. One, we've got a direct lender advantage. Our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender. There's no middleman, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls, an advantage that often allows us to get you a better rate, saving you monthly and lifelong money. Two, our faith is a big deal to us, and we're open about that. If we seem like a fit for you, we'd love to talk. We are United Faith Mortgage.
UnitedFaithMortgage.com. Nice.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to AnimalistConsumerAccess.org. Corporate Animalist Number 1330. Ryan Brackett, Animalist Number 65233. Equal Housing Lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
A top ally of imprisoned Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny says a politician's offices in Russia are being closed as authorities seek to outlaw Navalny's Foundation for Fighting Corruption.
Irina Fatyanova shows me what was the center of opposition politics in St. Petersburg. But the front door of Alexei Navalny's headquarters is shuttered. The signs with his name have all gone. And through one dusty window, I can see a couple of chairs and a coat rack. Irina used to run this place, but this week she was forced to suspend all operations until a court decides whether Alexei Navalny's political network should be classed as extremist and banned.
Navalny, a leading critic of Russian President Putin, after surviving a poisoning that almost killed him, Navalny returned to Russia from hospitalization in Germany, and he was promptly tossed in prison. News and analysis at townhall.com. A man linked to the U.S. Capitol riot found guilty of threatening lawmakers.
A man who admitted creating a series of menacing social media posts was convicted Wednesday on federal charges of threatening to kill members of Congress. A jury in federal court in Brooklyn found 37-year-old Brendan Hunt guilty after a week-long trial. Prosecutors alleged Hunt called for the public execution of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and Senator Charles Schumer. Hunt, who admitted posting videos and other materials supporting the January 6th riot at the U.S. Capitol, testified that he never thought his videos would be taken seriously, and they were often created while he was impaired from smoking pot and drinking beer. I'm Mike Gracia.
And watching Wall Street this morning, stocks bouncing between small gains and losses lately. Right now, the Dow is up 2 points, the Nasdaq 2 points higher as well. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
And good morning. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. It is Thursday morning, and it is not Carl and Linda Bott. It's Trish Clark, and I'm here this morning kind of being host by myself. Last hour, I was joined by Chief Anderson Police Chief Mike Johnson, and it's my pleasure to have Stephanie Pridgett in the board or in the room with me now. Excited, our district attorney, and we're going to have all kinds of good conversation. The news, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Regional Medical Center. It's 61 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak. We're looking for a high today of 91, partly cloudy this evening and a low of 59. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 98, mostly cloudy Friday night, a low of 58. That'll keep those temperatures down a little bit. And on Saturday, Sunday, a high of 87 and a mostly clear Saturday night and a low of 55. On Sunday, sunny and a high of 83 and a low that night of 54. On Monday, 87, sunny, and a low of 55. Going to carry those high 80s, low 90s figures right on through next week. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers or warm friends are locally operated and owned. They give veterans and senior discounts. Good Anderson business. Give them a call at 365-3793. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
You've been a busy lady. You have not been on the show for a couple of months and were involved in a major endeavor. Talk to us about the criminal trial that just completed.
So I just completed a couple of weeks ago now, but I did it ended up being about 5 weeks, and it was a homicide trial. I was happy with the conclusion. A jury did find him guilty of first-degree murder, so that was, it's a lot to do a trial, especially during COVID, and especially when you're also got so many other things going on and running an office. But yeah, it was great.
Is that a usual circumstance that our district attorney gets actually into the courtroom and does a murder trial?
I'm in my time in Shasta County, I've been here coming up on 19 years. I can't remember a time when a elected DA did a jury trial.
All right. Yeah, I thought that was kind of a unique circumstance. And obviously you knew what you were doing because you got the verdict you went after.
I did. I was very happy with first degree. It was a case that could have resulted in a second degree murder. Argued very hard for first degree and very happy with our citizen jurors who did the right thing and found him guilty of first degree.
So now we're going into the sentencing case, the period of that, and that'll start.
That'll be on Monday. Sentencing.
Talk to us a little bit about the difficulty of doing that kind of a trial during COVID.
Well, it's, really almost any case right now is difficult during COVID because the picking of a jury is taking a really long time. We're bringing in, 14, 15 jurors at a time as opposed to 50 people at a time, questioning them. They leave. We bring another 14 or 15 in. So we do this day after day after day just to get a big enough pool of people to start the selection process. So something that could have taken 3 days to pick a jury can take 2, 3, 4 weeks.
Wow. And of course, trying to, there's got to be a whole lot of perception and deductions made about a person. And if you can't see their face, that's really hard.
Yeah, it is. It's hard. It's hard when you're talking all day and you've got a mask on and it's hard to breathe. But also it's hard because you really play off of people's facial expressions and how they interact with each other and the fact that they are spread throughout the entire courtroom. They're out, the jurors are out in the gallery. So they're behind you. They're beside you.
Oh, wow. They're not even in.
No, they're surrounding you. So you can't see everybody. A lot of times you'll ask one person a question, and then if they're all sitting beside each other, you can kind of see and play off the response of another juror.
The reactions.
Yeah. Because you need to know if the jurors themselves are going to get along with each other. And if you have a juror who's answering a question, either what I may perceive to be positively or negatively, if another juror is reacting negatively to or towards that answer, well, you know those two probably aren't going to get along so well, and you might not want them back deciding the case.
Yeah.
So you're looking at all that stuff, and that with masks on, it really makes that difficult.
The whole mask thing, I probably not a subject you want to get me involved in, because I just didn't buy that from day one. I think that the repercussions of the population as a result of wearing those masks, the increase in lung issues and dermatology issues and all kinds of things that we're going to see. I think some of the stuff we've done to ourselves, we're going to just rue the day.
Right.
I know myself, I have a lung condition and I can't breathe.
Yeah.
And so I rarely, if ever, had it covering my entire face. I'd pull it down off my nose, and I just thought it was the filthiest thing I'd ever done in my whole life, putting that mask on my face. But
well, and talking all day in court, I know I was getting headaches, a scratchy throat. I mean, there are real symptoms for people who have to be in there all day long.
Yeah. I think it's, both. Not something I agreed with, but then that's not unusual with me disagreeing with different things with the government. We're going to go to the phones. We have a call on, Ron, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I've got a question for the district attorney.
Okay.
With all the break-ins we've got, everywhere in Shasta County, I'd like you to, address the, Article 1, Section 1 of our California Constitution. And it says, you know, that we have the right to acquire, possess, and protect our property. And so I'd like you to address that. What can we do to protect our property? Can we use a weapon? If so, what can we use? And like I said, just address that. Article 1, Section 1.
So a person's right of self-protection, you can look at it in, you know, if you're going to be protecting property, the laws of the state of California are not going to allow you to use deadly force to protect your property. So you're not going to be able to, you know, if someone's stealing your bike or whatever, shoot them with a gun. That's not something that's going to be able to happen. I mean, we are always wanting people to work with their you know, finding out from their agency, the local agencies or whatever they can to protect their properties with, you know, alarm systems and stuff like that before it ever comes to using any type of deadly force. But you're right. There's a huge increase in crimes breaking into people's houses. And I know, you know, our agencies are doing everything they can to help protect people, but people have to be mindful and watch each other's properties for each other, you know, call the police as soon as they can, you know, turn their lights on, do whatever they can. But certainly you're only going to be able to use what we would classify as deadly force if you are in a situation where your life is being threatened, in that situation.
Another question. Can we, I've heard talk about deadly force and excessive force and things like that. Can we hit them with our crutch or a walking stick, like a cane? Can we throw a rock at them?
When you're protecting property?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's going to be very hard for me to give anyone, yes, you can go out and throw a rock, you can do this, because we have to decide every case based on the individual facts of the case. So it would be inappropriate for me to give any type of advice that blanketly tells someone that they can go start throwing items at someone if they're trying to steal their property. So,
okay, so I got another little situation here, too. When I read the Article 1, Section 1, it says we have the right to acquire, possess, and protect. When I look up protecting in the dictionary, it says to cover or shield from injury or destruction, to defend. When I look up defend, it says to strike, repel danger or harm from harm, to protect, to maintain against a force or argument. So it doesn't tell us how we can or we cannot defend our property. The other day I had a guy, we've been having break-ins out here on Bear Mountain Road. I mean, it's just getting, it's terrible. But anyway, so I tried to follow the law. I called the sheriff, I called 911 to get somebody to help me. And I said, the guy is just, he's been breaking in. When I got there, he saw me and my pickup and he took off. So I called 911 and I told him what was going on. And I said, I need a sheriff I'm following the guy right now. He ran off the property. He's going up Bear Mountain Road towards the lake. I need a sheriff to help me out. And they said, we're busy. I said, you've got to be kidding me. Here's the guy. I'm looking at him, and he's been breaking into my neighbor's house. They got him on video, and here's the same guy. And I couldn't get anybody to help me.
I hear the frustration in your voice, and unfortunately, we're going to have to take a break. But you bring up some really good points,
I say after the break, I got more questions.
I know you do, but we need to move on, and I appreciate you calling in, and I would encourage you to contact the sheriff's department one on one, and maybe have a further conversation.
You know, I've tried that. I've tried that for a long time. I tried with Tom Basinko. I tried with the California Highway Patrol. I've called the district attorney before, and now the new sheriff has let me down as well, as far as I'm concerned. Anyhow, I guess I'm going to get cut off. So.
No, I'm not cutting you off. We just really need to move on, and we need to take a break. But I do appreciate your call.
Let me stay on. So that's...
Thank you very much. We'll be right back after these messages.
Life is too short to be uninformed.
The Armstrong and Getty Show, 9 to noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Shasta County, my name is Alyssa McEwen, and I'm leading the effort to recall three of our Shasta County supervisors. We will be gathering signatures in your neighborhood starting May 1st. By signing our petition, this allows the public to vote in an upcoming election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We're tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and a failure to defend our county against corrupt politicians like Gavin Newsom. It's time for a recall so we can restore Shasta County to accountable, transparent, responsible government. Join me at recallshasta.org.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
Are you looking for a new career opportunity? Well, look no further. Wind River Resort and Casino is the place for you. If you'd like a fun and exciting team atmosphere, then check out the opportunities at Wind River Resort and Casino. We offer competitive wages, but also extensive benefit packages. Where else can you receive 15 paid holidays, including your birthday, paid vacation and sick leave, health, dental and vision benefits, and a 401k retirement plan with a 7% match? To see all open positions at Wind River Resort and Casino, visit careers at windriver.com. Benefits vary depending on job classification.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300. A reputation for excellence since 1965.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
KCNR, 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and hear us online at kcnr1460.com. Don't miss Armstrong and Getty, plus Ben Shapiro, and Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, featuring special guests talking about local issues on KCNR.
Just as I thought it was going all right, I found out I'm wrong.
Okay, welcome back. KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Jump into the chat room at kcnr1460.com. Again, I know you're in there. We welcome you and love the conversations going on, and Jared will bring to my attention any questions that you have for the district attorney. I can't listen to the chat room and host the show. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I have just a little bit. So give us a call at 605-4567. I know there's some people out there. We're only going to let you on the air once during the show because there's a lot of people that want to talk and information we want to get to. So let's go. You brought up something interesting in the during the off time. SB 82.
Yes.
A new law that's getting ready to become law in the state of California.
It's working its way through the legislature right now. That is correct. So basically, obviously everyone is familiar with Proposition 47 that changed a lot of our felony crimes down to misdemeanors, particularly drug and theft crimes. Theft crimes, it made petty theft, you could still up to just under $950, and it's still going to be a misdemeanor, which is crazy. So SB 82 is going to take that one step further. It's going to say if a person commits a robbery without the use of a deadly weapon or without great bodily injury occurring, then that's also going to be classified as a petty theft. And what that means is what a robbery would be. So you're walking down the street with your cell phone in your hand or your purse in your hand or whatever it may be, and someone comes up and now commits a theft from your person. They rip your cell phone out of your hand. They rip your purse off of you. Whatever they maybe do, they're now stealing stuff, not walking in a store and putting it in their jacket and walking out, but they're pulling it away from your person. That would something would qualify now as a felony robbery. SB 82 is now going to make that a petty theft, punishable only as a misdemeanor.
So, Stephanie, what you it just we've got crime. We've got a community that's in fear a lot of time from every corner. And instead of trying to ever hold any of these people accountable for any of these things that change the lives of all of the good, honest citizens in a community, they keep making it easier for them to commit these and go free with no consequences.
They do.
How do we turn that around?
You know, we need representatives at a higher level who have a different way of thinking that are not going to stand for that, who are going to bring law and order and justice back to our state and back to our communities. And I know you and I mentioned during the break talking about we've got the election coming up for the state attorney general. The current appointee for that is Rob Bonta. He has not only voted for, but it's been in support of a lot of legislation that has impacted us negatively in the world of criminal justice. He is part of these laws that are now decriminalizing and making our communities less safe. we have an alternative. We've got the current elected district attorney for Sacramento, Anne Marie Schubert, who has decided and who has already announced that she is going to run for the state attorney general position, and she is someone who would change that. She would be a voice at the higher level who could step in and make sure that people like us, citizens like us, who still believe in the rule of law, are represented.
So that's something for, you know, pay attention. We always say, what can we do to make a difference? And you're getting a hint right here. I think most of you will agree that we certainly have a law and justice, rule of law district attorney in Stephanie Bridget. We're very fortunate for that. And she's recommending this Anne Marie Schubert as the next attorney general. And certainly I would take her opinion, because we, so often when we have these positions at the state level, we really don't know what their history is, what their record is. And so when we get a piece of information, so write that down someplace, right. And when that ballot comes up, be sure you make your vote in the right direction. That's how we can maybe change some of this stuff.
And so you know a little bit about her. Anne Marie Schubert is a 30-year prosecutor. I mean, she has worked her entire life for the rule of law, for justice. So she is someone who has worked with victims, who has not only worked with victims to protect victims and incarcerate the accused, but she has also done a lot of work on the other side of making sure people who do need a softer touch or rehabilitation, that there are programs out there for those first-time offenders or people who need that step up. She has worked in and pioneered a lot of cold cases with DNA. She was the primary person on the Golden State Killer cases and worked on solving that case. She's also worked on DNA cases that have exonerated people who sat in prison and weren't the person who committed the murder and found the actual person who committed that murder. So she is someone who is just really there for the people. And I'm happy she's stepping in and putting her hat in for that role. It's a big responsibility, and I'm confident she's going to do well. Something people aren't aware of that a state attorney general's office can do, they can come in, say, to Shasta County. If they feel like I made the wrong decision on a case and didn't file a case, or I'm not handling it correctly, come in and take that case away and prosecute it themselves. And they typically aren't going to do that because we do handle, you know, our cases the way they should be, especially in places like Shasta County. But the reason that is so much more important and relevant now than it ever has been, because we've got district attorneys in places like Los Angeles, District Attorney Gascon, who has turned that office upside down to basically let people go, to not represent the victims. So that is an area where the state attorney general is going to make a big difference, to go in there and take cases, make sure that victims are actually represented, even if you have a district attorney like in L.A. who is not doing their job.
Do you know, I remember, Stephanie, when I first got on the Board of Supervisors, that we had a very active group in Shasta County who worked strenuously with the Victims' Bill of Rights, the things that to make it the laws that we had to represent the victims in a crime. We have done a complete 180 on that, and we seem to have forgotten totally about the victim. Has absolutely nothing to do with the victim anymore when we go through our whole prosecution, our whole media coverage. It's all about holding that person. I mean, we concentrate on, oh, they had a bad childhood. Oh, their mother was mean. Oh, they had a hard time in school. They, you know, this or that or one other thing. Every excuse under the sun to not hold them accountable for the consequences of their choices.
Yeah, and I agree. I think here on the local level, my office definitely does focus on the victims and all of that. But when we look at...
But your hands are tied in so many cases because you just can't do anything about it.
When we're looking at what law is being passed on the state level that impacts what we can and can't do, they're the ones who are not looking at the victims. They're forgetting about the victims. They're forgetting about victims have constitutional rights, and those are not being supported, held up, or anything. A lot of things that have been passed legislatively have eroded the constitutional rights of victims, which just cannot occur, but it's occurring in our state, and it's very sad, and it's having very long-term impacts on our community.
Well, and I think we see the mood of the people in the recall on Governor Newsom. I think that this state contrary to everyone's belief and certainly what the media tells us, is not as liberal and left-wing as they would lead us to believe. I believe that there are a lot of citizens in the state of California who are conservative, who are tired of all of the things that have been handed down to us, the mandates that are absolutely unconstitutional, all of this stuff with COVID had, I mean, they never actually reached a state of emergency in the state of California that allowed them to make the dictates that we have lived with for the last, 18 months?
Yeah, about 18 months.
And we never reached that state of emergency that allowed him to make those. But like a bunch of sheep, we've just gone along and done as we were told, and probably I can really get wound up on that. but I'm just saying that that at some point, I believe that the citizens of California with this recall things, I think that the conservative side, the common sense, is struggling to the surface in a lot of places, and I think we're destined to make a little difference. We're going to have to take a break. This section of the show has been brought to us by Quick and Clean Car Wash. Spring on over for savings at the Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way, next to Dutch Rose in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons, get 1 free, or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean, my car wash of choice. Been there on that property for over 100 years. That family has been in control of that. So stop over by Quick and Clean. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, owner of HealthWise Chiropractic. I'm here to invite you to our second Twin Powers Health Fair, Saturday, May 1st. At HealthWise Chiropractic in Reading. Our vendors will be indoors and outdoors, from nutrition, skincare and makeup, to massage, energy work, and handcrafts, and so much more. We see you, we hear you, we know people are craving community and togetherness. This is how we can help. Join us Saturday, May 1st for the Twin Powers Health Fair at HealthWise Chiropractic at 405 South Street. See you there.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
As Shasta County gradually reopens for business, we can all do our part to stop the spread of COVID-19 by wearing a mask when in public. Cloth face coverings help reduce the spread of germs by preventing the release of droplets when someone speaks, coughs, or sneezes. Wash your face covering often, ideally after each use or at least daily. Wash with detergent and hot water and dry on a hot cycle. Here is Shasta County Health Officer Dr. Karen Ramstrom.
Remember, wearing a face covering is not a replacement for physical distancing, frequent hand washing, and staying home when sick. Your mask protects me, and my mask protects you. Together, we can stop the spread.
For more information, including how to make your own cloth face covering, go to ShastaReady.org.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
K
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and heard online at KCNR1460.com featuring Armstrong and Getty, both smart and funny. Plus, you will hear Dave Ramsey, Mark Levin, and Ben Shapiro. And don't miss our local programming right here on KCNR.
Shasta Miners and Prospectors Association is a nonprofit group that helps small-scale miners and prospectors while educating the public about mining. They offer gold-bearing claims that members can use, and they hold monthly meetings that are open to the public. If you are interested in prospecting, mining, metal detecting, or treasure hunting, please join the Shasta Miners and Prospectors Association by downloading the application on our website.
And welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Community radio for the North State. You can jump in the chat room at KCNR1460.com or give us a call at 605-4567. I would tell you that if you have personal questions and things that you want to talk about, it's best to give the district attorney a call one-on-one, a lot of stuff that she's just really not able to discuss online. Certainly, I think you people can understand that, so please bear that in mind. You know, we try to do this show for the benefit of all of the community and get out information that is good for all of us, and so let's kind of be respectful of our guests from time to time. All right, so we're going to go on now, and we had a discussion kind of at break, and this is the end of Sexual Assault Awareness Month. Let's have a little discussion about that and its impact, sexual assault on impact with COVID.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so every year in April, we have Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and we've also got Crime Victim Rights Week, which we just had last week. But the entire month of April is going to be Sexual Assault Awareness Month. This month we did a denim drive to try to get as much denim jeans in and other denim that we can, and we're going to make sure that is all donated to sexual assault survivors in our community. And just I want to give a shout out thanks to all the community members who donated, because we had really large donations come in from a lot of people in our community of denim. And
I was going to denim connection. Am I just really obtuse here? I don't know.
I was going to jump right into that.
Okay.
So, that there is a reason that every year, and yesterday was actually Denim Day. And that is because back in the 80s or early 90s, the, Italian Supreme Court overruled a rape conviction. So there was a rape conviction of a person who had raped a lady, and the Supreme Court justices overturned that conviction, let that person go, because of the clothing that female was wearing tight jeans, and said that because the ultimate ruling was because that woman was wearing jeans that were tight, she must have assisted in taking those jeans off and therefore must have consented and therefore must have overruled that.
Okay, so there is a connection.
Yeah.
That was a big question mark there.
So it's basically raising awareness that what a person looks like, what they're wearing, none of that is consent for a crime, especially sexual assault. So it's really a community call to action based out of that horrible ruling that shouldn't happen anymore. So every year we recognize that we do a denim day at my office, but this year we want to go one step further and did a denim drive. And I let everyone in my office who donated at least one pair of denim jeans wear denim the entire month of April so that we could keep that in the forefront of our minds, which everyone enjoyed. So yes, we're at the point where we're going to make sure that we get all of that, all of those donated items out to sexual assault victims in our community.
And you know, I think that we, again, you know, the chief and I talked earlier about trafficking and those issues, which I don't think sexual assault, trafficking, those kind of issues don't get the notoriety that they deserve. They're rampant in our communities, not just in Shasta County or the state of California, but across the United States. Those kind of things are still going on. I certainly, but you know, I'm a great believer in the difference between men and women, and I like to see a man be a strong man and open my door and treat me like a lady. But that doesn't take away my rights as a woman as well, and sexual assault is just that. Mm-hmm. Nobody has the right, man or woman, to do those kinds of things to another human being.
Right. And you mentioned the tie-in to kind of the impacts of COVID as it relates to those types of family violence, crime, sexual assault, child abuse, all of that. And yes, that has had an impact where we've got, you know, last year where we have a lot of people who are kids who are not in school. We've got parents who are out of work and are at home. So those are situations that are ripe for an increase in domestic violence, sexual assault, child abuse. And I think we're just starting to see the tip of the iceberg of what's going to kind of roll out from the circumstances that we've all been under over the last year.
I think you're right, because a lot of people who maybe those signs would have been seen by teachers if right. the children were in school, or if females were working, or other, you know, things, normal life was going on, people were out and around, you see those kinds of things and other people can be aware of them. When we're closed down like we've been, a lot of that can be happening and no one's going to notice.
Right.
So not the community, because you're not mixing like we did socially. I'm so glad. Shasta County is opening up, and I'm so glad to see that.
It's interesting, because I just recently went on the first vacation we have in the last year, because everything kept being canceled over the last year, and just seeing the difference. Like, we spent, you know, a couple weeks off on vacation, and just everywhere it was, mask was a huge deal. I mean, on the airplanes, if your mask was even barely down on your nose, they're calling you out on it, pull it up, to the point that it was some of those flight attendant people were kind of quite rude about it. But it was very nice to come back to Shasta County. And the very first day we were back, we're out at the Little League fields, and we get out of the car and we're like, oh, we got to put our mask on. We're like, oh, no, we don't. And we can breathe, and this is amazing.
Well, it is, because I just spent a couple, 3 days up on the Oregon coast, and whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm kind of been the last month or so, I've hardly put a mask on, and no one has really called me on it. Mm-hmm. I still, you know, and I appreciate the social distancing.
Sure.
I appreciate the plexiglass. I would be one, all this plexiglass that's been put up in restaurants and nail salons and all these different places, I'd be one to say, hey, leave it there. I think that's going to go a long way in not spreading flu and not spreading
right.
colds and,
right.
and all those kind of things. So I think that's a good thing. I never have been a fan of the masks. I don't think there's any scientific or any other support that says that's a good thing, and I believe I'm going to, you know, they've never been able to say, even Guru Fauci has changed his mind a dozen times and gone from no mask, it's unimportant and what have you, to what, now three masks?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy is off the wall with that stuff.
We saw that. We saw people with two masks and a shield on at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, I think it's a whole different discussion.
Everybody's their individual. If that's
if you want to wear a mask, put it on.
If that's right for you and your family and your circumstances, then I support that. And have nothing to do, no problem with that, and will defend anyone who wants to call you out on that. You know, that's your right. So.
Yeah. And I'll tell you something else. If I'm a business owner, and I want you to, guys, stand on your left foot for 3 seconds before you come into my store, and that's a requirement for me to enter your private property, I'm going to stand on my left foot if I want to go in that door. But when the government comes down with a big hand and lays it over all of the private businesses and makes you do things like that, then that's where we balk.
Yeah.
Because they don't have the right to do that. And I think that would be upheld and is going to be. But I'm glad to see in the state of California, it's easing up. It's totally different. Boy, we had to mask up all over Oregon. Every place you went, you couldn't.
Yeah.
And they weren't giving up on it. I mean, you put a mask on or you weren't coming in. And they would question you every step of the way, all the way through.
Yeah.
Even if you pull it down, because I don't breathe well, you know, so I pull it down from below my nose immediately, and they would approach you in the store. The few stores that were open, I mean, I can go into great, I mean, we spent most of the morning trying to find a place for, I'll even say it, we were trying to find a place for coffee and donuts, and couldn't find a place, and by lunchtime, we finally decided we'd done a Bloody Mary. What are you going to do? that worked, and we got a little vegetable along with that to have that breakfast.
Yeah, it's a big difference. But it's having an impact on what we see in our office. Also, you know, the COVID impacts has impacted our jury trials. I spoke a little bit about that earlier in the show, but what we're also seeing is just the backlog of cases, and I just don't know when we're going to get over that backlog. I was just speaking with the other managers in my office yesterday and gave the updated information. We've got 27 cases, all no time waiver, just trailing week after week for a courtroom because of the backlog. And it's just difficult. I mean, how and when are we going to be able to get all those cases with all the new ones through the system? That's going to be statewide. It's not just our community.
June 15th, are they not supposed to lift up a lot of that stuff? Do you think that will have an impact on jury selection and not have all those requirements to limit the amount of people in? And
I mean, that's what we're hearing, but let's look at it this way. If June 15th, everything is lifted, and now our local courts are unable to get an order from our Chief Justice to extend people's statutory right for jury trial time, and we have to try all those cases, they will all be dismissed because there's not enough courtrooms to try them.
So the extensions have been going because of COVID.
Right.
I'm going to fall into that old common sense trap and say they would think that now they've just lifted it, they would give you one more extension to catch up the backlog. Having said that, that probably won't happen.
We don't know what's going to happen. So we're doing the best we can to, you know, try the cases that we can, resolve the cases that we have to in order to get through, because we just don't have enough resources locally. And you add on top of that the coronavirus and all the shutdowns and everything that's caused such a tremendous backlog. We just have a huge workload that's even bigger than I would have been talking about and did talk about prior to COVID occurring.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this portion of the show has been brought to us by Compass Sports Cards at 1620 East Cypress Avenue. Features modern and vintage sports cars and collectibles, plus everything from non-sports Pokemon cards to signed sports memorabilia. Buy, sell, or trade with Compass Sports Cards. Open 11 to 6, Monday through Friday. And they're located on East Cypress Street, East Cypress Avenue. Give them a call and go by and see them. We'll be right back after these messages.
Shasta County, my name is Melody Fowler, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Comenti. We will be gathering signatures at local events, shops, and in your neighborhood starting May 1st. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org today.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
Wind River Resort and Casino is offering a fabulous Mother's Day brunch on Sunday, May 9th, with seating options at 10 a.m. and 12 noon in the Wind River Event Center. Served buffet includes omelet station, prime rib, roast turkey, steamed clams with an array of delicious trimmings and desserts. Table of six for $135. Taxes and fees apply. Tickets must be purchased by calling 1-800-280-UWIN or at windriver.com. For the complete menu, download the Wind River app or log on to windriver.com. All Wind River safety protocols must be followed.
Shasta County, my name is Kathy Stainbrook, and I am leading the effort to recall Supervisors Modi, Rickert, and Chimente. We will be gathering signatures at local events, shops, in your neighborhood starting May 1st. By signing our petition, it allows the public to vote in an upcoming special election to choose which supervisors remain and which ones will be replaced. We are tired of bloated budgets, school closures, and failed leadership. It's time for a recall so we can restore responsible local government in Shasta County. Join me at recallshasta.org today.
Paid for by the Shasta General Purpose Committee.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauk's Landscape Supply at the corner of Dersh Airport and Churn Creek Road. As we grow our landscape lineup, we invite you to come see what we have done to bring you a high-quality selection for all your projects. Take advantage of our ever-growing selection of small rental equipment to help transform your yard, like a track machine trencher, rototillers, sod cutters, fiber plates, sod rollers, and so much more. Get the lawn you want this year using our Bolero Plus Sod by Delta Bluegrass and pair that with our Jumpstart Fertilizer to give it the boost it needs to thrive. Laux Landscape Supply is home of the U-Cart Concrete, where we have a large fleet of concrete trailers to help get the job done right and on time. Call and reserve yours today at 378-2220. You pick up or we deliver, where no load is too big or too small. At Laux Landscape Supply, we have several different size trucks to accommodate your needs with fast and efficient delivery to your job site. We have a dedicated staff ready to walk you through your next project, so just give us a call at 378-2220. Check us out on the web at LauxLandscapeSupply.com or just come see us 7 days a week at the intersection of Dersh, Airport, and Churn Creek Road, and tell your friends.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR. Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high. No plane that I can't learn how to fly. What do I gotta do to get through to you to show you there ain't nothing I can't take this chainsaw to?
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody! Hey, pretty baby, are you ready for me? Yeah, it's your good rockin' daddy down from Tennessee. I'm just that off and back with Santa Tone with a radio blasting.
Welcome back. This is KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. Jump into the chat room at KCNR1460.com. I understand there's a conversation going on in there about the cartels out with drugs, and neither one of us is the district attorney or would have any real knowledge of that. Do know that's a problem out there in the hitherlands, and legalizing marijuana was not a solution.
Yeah, I mean, we know that there's those problems are there. And I know we've got our sheriff's office and task force that are always working on those types of cases. So anyone who's got firsthand knowledge on that, I just encourage them to please call our sheriff's office and get that reported. But I believe there was another question about our new courthouse.
About the new courthouse. And, yeah, Nick had called in earlier, and we were trying not to take too many, but he did have a question about the number of courtrooms in the new courthouse that's going up as we speak.
Yeah, absolutely. So the new courthouse is going to have 14 courtrooms. Now, we have currently 13 judicial officers. That's what we have in our current courthouse. So we've got the courtrooms for those. And then on our new courthouse is going to have 14 courtrooms. So there will be room for one additional judge. That's in a courtroom that's completely going to be built and ready to go on day one when that courthouse opens. Of course, we can only get another judge if the governor budgets that, puts that in, gives us that position and appoints someone to that position for our county. But another good thing is that that new courthouse is going to have and will have two additional spaces that are big enough to be courtrooms. They won't yet have the furniture and everything in them. But
there is room for expansion.
Right. They are ready to be converted. So we have the possibility of going up to 16 courtrooms. But again, we need the judicial positions to be allotted by the governor before that could even happen. So we are going to have the room for expansion. But when we first move in, we're going to have the same amount of judicial officers as we do now with the 13 courtrooms for them.
And if things loosened up and we could do a little more streamlining with our court system, we could probably move with the positions we have, could move more people through there if we had the attorneys and the prosecutors and the public defenders and all of those different positions to make that system work.
I mean, everything comes down to resources for sure, but
it
we
does.
Definitely need more judges in our community too, because
exactly.
We're going to need more courtrooms to do trials and all of that. And I believe we did get that new judge position over the last year, but that means we're still down another three or four judges that we need for a community of our size.
Okay, we have another phone call. We'll go to the phones. Jim, good morning.
Good morning. Stephanie and Trish, do any of you guys remember John Bama when he was sheriff?
Just barely. I moved to the community just as he had retired.
Oh.
So well, I know rumors. I don't remember him actually.
I'll tell you what. He would not have put up with half none of this crap. I'll tell you, that guy would have. He had his own rule he had up here, and he ran a real tight ship.
You know, you're absolutely right, and a lot of us miss that kind of individual control.
Yeah. So anyway, most everybody's probably all died now.
You know, I will tell you that there is a organization that's starting across the United States that is run by a sheriff, and I've forgotten which community he's from. But there, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but the sheriff is the has the final authority and is the only elected official within a county who, in fact, can make a decision if he feels that he's being ordered to do something that is unconstitutional. He can choose not to enforce that. Strong sheriff. And a lot of, there are some sheriffs across the United States that are taking that to heart and are making some differences in their communities. I, for one, believe that's how we take this United States back. We start with the people in the communities.
With strong sheriffs that will stand up and have a backbone.
Well, there you go. We've got to have that. And he needs the community support behind him to do that.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, thanks for the call.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, and that's true. The sheriffs, district attorneys. There's a few positions that are constitutional positions that can, look at a constitution and interpret and apply that.
Yeah. There you go. So now I'm gonna kind of go off on it. We've got some political issues going on in our community. We've got a recall trying to go underway. It's had a bit of a sidestep, I understand. Something wasn't filed correctly. The recall committee says that's not going to slow them down. They're going for it anyway, and they're trying to recall three county supervisors. Not going to get into right or wrong of that, but the actual thing is the people have the right, if they're not happy with their government, and that is the way we control it, is you have the right to get in and recall them. We also had a resignation of one of the elected department heads. The auditor just filed his retirement. He's going to resign, and that position will have to be filled. And on his way out the door, and I'm not quoting exactly, he said something to the effect that don't bother to give me a plaque because you haven't given me a raise in 6 years. That kind of perked my memory. And as I recall, when I was on the board, we used to treat the elected department heads exactly the way we treated all the other department heads, i.e., if there was raises and COLAs, we would give those to those elected department heads, not the five members of the Board of Supervisors. That was a whole separate process about how they got paid. But our elected department heads were treated as other department heads. In doing my research, I find that kind of changed about 5-6 years ago, and that the elected department heads in Shasta County have not received COLAs or raises or wage adjustments for the last 5 or 6 years. And so in further researching that, we have actually three attorneys that are department heads in Shasta County. You have the county council's office, you have the public defender's office, and you have the district attorney's office. And our elected district attorney actually makes $24,000 less than the county council and public defender. She has people in her department, as do some of our other elected department heads, who are making more money than she is. I don't know how the rest of the community feels about that, but I think that's wrong. I think that you can't have control of your department when you have people underneath you who are making salaries that exceed what you're making.
Well,
it doesn't seem fair. So now I've kind of dropped that on Stephanie. She's sitting there going, thanks a lot, Trish. But I'm going to, I know Stephanie, and she will be willing to comment on that.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you've definitely done your research. So I have to say everything you've said is definitely accurate. And that is what I've watched over the my tenure as district attorney, which has been over 4 years now, is, you know, before COVID, I went to all the department heads, all the Board of Supervisors meetings. So I've, you know, intimately involved and knowledgeable of what's occurred. And, yeah, you sit there and you watch department heads as a group get, you know, get COLAs, get raises, get all of that. And it has been quite frustrating that the very few elected official department heads, which there are, I believe, seven of us, maybe six. We simply don't. And it has been a source of frustration, which I think, our auditor, Mr. Muir, did decide to put in his resignation letter.
And decided to speak about it the same. So for the benefit, I know, because a lot of people don't really understand, the whole system as a whole. So you have your treasurer tax collector, you have the auditor controller, you have the county clerk, registrar of voters, what have you. You have the district attorney, the sheriff. Who am I missing?
Did you say auditor?
Auditor controller. Yeah. Anyway, so that's food for
thought. Very few.
The recall effort that's out there. Please, I want everybody to take the time to learn the issues, learn which you're looking at, District 2, District 4, and District 1 that are being recalled. If you live in those districts, find out the facts. Get involved with the group. Yay or nay, it's our right as citizens to do that. Stephanie, thanks so much for coming in this morning, and I've enjoyed our conversation. Hopefully the community learned some things. Final words?
No, I appreciate you having me on here. I missed coming in here over the last 2 months because I try to come in here regularly and just, you know, let everyone in the community know that I appreciate them. And I'm here with everyone who works in the DA's office to protect you and your rights and do what we can. And we're always here for you.
All right. I thank the community for listening in this morning. Remind you, Frontier Senior Center breakfast this Sunday, 8 to 11. Hope to see you all there. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow. Bye.
You can stand.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.